Yes, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I particularly like this. Sounds like Dickman, doesn't it?
What?
The right here, this guy.
It does, but it sounds a lot like you.
You know, for once, I got to agree, bud. It sounds like you. You go,
Yeah, man, that's right. It does sound you. That's Kevin Gates, thug. I'm not a thug.
You may not think you're a thug.
But I gotta tell you, you know I respect you as much as anyone.
No, you don't.
Yes, I don't. Go against what I'm...
What were you gonna say?
That I respect Bud, but he does come off as thuggish at times. Excuse me. Oh, thank God. I needed that.
Yeah, I come off thuggy. You go.
Are you trying to tell me that a woman who is a mother and a wife and a hardworking member of this society... Hold on. Are you trying to tell me that a woman who is like that, who belches, is a thug? Brother, you got a long way to go, bud, before you get your head clean out of your ass.
Ass up, that's the way we like to fuck.
You're right.
On that goose, you too loose, baby.
Good God.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, you're the one that had to pause at that point, Blackard, I'll tell you.
God almighty. Can we start again?
No, we may not. Welcome to the show, folks. It's Monday. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Today, we're going to be on KKSF in San Francisco, filling in for Gil Gross. Nice guy. Talk to Gil.
You know, I've enjoyed Gil Gross so very, very much down through the years.
Who's Gil Gross?
Gil Gross, pretty famous.
Gil Gross, may I, Phil?
Go ahead.
Gil Gross has been on the Paul Harvey. Gil Gross has been, in his own right, a news talk host over on CBS. Gil Gross has been a newsman. He's done a lot of things. He is a very seasoned, and this is a word that we don't use. He's a seasoned veteran. God, where are they?
Well, I've got a few years.
Yeah, well.
I don't want to agree with Margaret.
Wait. I'm not a seasoned veteran.
Phil, you're a veteran, but of what?
I'm a veteran, but of what? Huh? I'm a veteran of... Well, look, I don't want to make this about me.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you're making this... we're talking about Gil Gross and the things that he does.
Yeah, Gil Gross is very much a veteran and a seasoned one. I'll give you that. And so anyway, we're going to fill in for him on KKSF this afternoon. 3 o'clock, bud?
Yeah, we got you at 3 o'clock. They're going to call in. And another thing, you better be ready for it, too, because they're going to have cues... and everything.
Why don't you back off, okay? I know what I'm doing.
Well,
Yamazan, you gotta be ready for it.
I'll be ready for it. Take it easy.
Why are they telling you?
I don't know, Dickman. What do you think? You're the ruler of the roost around here or something?
Just want to make sure.
I'll be ready for it. Take it easy.
What are you looking for God's sake?
I'm looking for the news copy that I... looking for this copy that I wanted. Okay, here it is. Anyway, welcome to a show. Kind of a cool weekend. This past weekend, I sat and I watched some documentaries.
Now, you were talking about that one, that Diane. I don't want to...
No. There was a very tragic one that I watched called There's Something Wrong with Aunt Diane. I don't want to go into it.
That movie about with there something wrong with Alice?
What do you mean, something wrong with Alice?
No, but it's not... It's a documentary. Documentary.
You got to be a better tell him what a documentary is.
A documentary is...
I know what a documentary is. Documentary is the realism of it.
Yes, that's close enough. The documentary is the realism of it. Wow.
A documentary basically uses documents that are factual in the telling of a story. So the film footage that you see in a documentary, the interviews that you see in a documentary, the people that you see in a documentary are real, baby. Real.
Hey, right there. Bingo. That's exactly...
Yeah, so that's the difference between...
That's the difference.
What? They use that.
See, right there. You just did what Kevin Gates did. Give me...
Margaret, don't...
I want to play this. This is what Kevin Gates did at the beginning of that song, and here you are, bud. This is what you did. See that?
No.
That's exactly what you sound like. All right. So,
Where are we?
I'm talking about what a documentary is. A documentary, but is reality. A documentary is...
Yeah, you see a documentary is reality about a true story.
No, man, it's not, you know, this is based on a true story. It's none of that shit, okay?
God.
Well, I want to get it clean out of your head. When you see a TV show or a movie that says based on a true story, or it might be a true story, or I wish it were a true story, or whatever other horse shit... they're laying on you, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a true story. A documentary also doesn't necessarily mean it's a true story, but at least
Dad, you're losing it.
Yeah, Mr. Sam, what do you mean by that?
What I'm telling you is, guys, that a documentary uses as its raw material real people and real events as recorded by the camera. Not recreations, not any of that shit. Real documentaries, as I know them and as more and more people should know them, use real documentary evidence. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's telling a true story. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's not propagandistic. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, not being used for nefarious reasons.
Well, let me ask you a question. How can a documentary be propagandistic?
You can take and edit anything you want to make it look any way you want it to look.
Well, that's true. A lot of people said that, and I don't agree. And I don't want to have any lip from anyone about this. A lot of people said that about Fahrenheit 9/11. You know?
Yeah, the Michael Moore documentary.
Yes, which I thought was outstanding.
Look, don't start. If you want people to just lay off, then don't go down to Michael Moore Road.
Yeah, don't go down to Michael Moore Road.
Don't tell me what to do, you dirty...
Go over his nose.
That kid wants to open his yap to me.
Margaret, look, can we keep this non-contentious and non-confrontational? I don't want to talk about Fahrenheit 4-1, or whatever the hell it's called.
Fahrenheit not... What is it called?
It was Fahrenheit 451 when I first heard about it.
No, this is different.
This is the Michael Moore one on 9/11.
Well, you know...
Okay, can we drop it?
Yeah, so I win?
No, you don't win.
Shut up. No, Margaret, you don't win. Here's the thing. Documentaries tell a story, whether they tell a true story, whether they tell a slightly bent story, whether they tell a story that's sort of crooked in one direction or the other. That's a discussion for another day. But the footage they use, the raw material that they use, is real. Now, I had to go through all of that bullshit with you guys to get to this point.
What bullshit? Phil, I'm trying to point some things out.
Margaret, would you just let it go before I come? I'm going to come unglued here in a minute.
Oh, you're going to come unglued?
Yeah, well.
What about that?
Well, that generally means he's going to start...
She thinks I'm going to pull my zipper down? Fuck me.
All right, take it easy.
I'm taking a walk.
Well, General, you have to be clear.
I don't need to be clear about that.
All right. Anyway, this past weekend, I saw a documentary that really blew me away called, I believe it's called Murder in the Fast Lane or Massacre in the Fast Lane.
Yeah, it was about them two sisters, right?
Yeah, two twin sisters. Man, you ain't seen nothing like this. Now, I don't know when it took place.
I think it said 2009. It's about the same time as that, the other one.
It wasn't really?
Yeah, I think so.
Hold on, I went in on this, yeah, because I watched it with him. No, I watched it late. Was it on that boob tube or...
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw it on the YouTube.
Yeah, we saw it about 2009.
There you go.
All right, we're at 2009. And these are two sisters. Get a load of this. This thing was way out there. Two sisters are captured by what they call CCTV footage. This is the security cameras that they have in Europe.
Yes.
And they are captured on CCTV footage running out onto a freeway. Not once, not twice, but three times. Motorists have to stop. One of them gets hit. In fact, both of them got hit.
Now, wait just a minute.
Margaret, just let Phil finish, because this story is as kooky as it gets.
They got hit by cars.
They got hit by cars, and they were not seriously injured. Now, finally, the cops arrive to find out what the fuck is going on, right? There's women running around out here on the freeway, and we don't know what the hell, and they finally get them off the road, and the women are okay, and they're talking to them. And then all of a sudden, one breaks free again and runs right in front of a truck, man, and the truck runs over her back. The truck runs over her legs.
Oh, my God.
Captain Straight, you gotta...
Take it easy, Margaret.
Oh, you told me no, you took it easy? Fuck. Well, goddammit, at least go and throw up into a toilet like a real human being, will you? I'm a poodle.
Anyway, yeah. Rona ran over her back legs. The other sister runs out. When she sees that, the other sister runs out to try to get hit, and she does get hit. She gets hit by a car and bounces off the windshield. Both of them are still alive.
Well, the one that got her legs run over, though, I bet she ain't moving too quick after that.
Yeah.
Give me five.
Yeah. All right. No, she wasn't. She was immediately, you know, put into an ambulance. Two compound fractures. The guy, the officer was very calm when he said two compound fractures. Basically, what the attending emergency room people said, that her legs were crushed. But the other sister ran out when she saw it. She ran out and she got hit by a car. She bounced off the windshield. She gets up. The cops are trying to keep her down. And she gets up. She's going to run across another three lanes of traffic. The one cop chases her, and she this female cop, and she clocks her.
Did she hit her?
Yeah, she hit her in the chops.
I want in on this. Did you see this, General?
Yes, I did. Now, this is what I'm trying to tell you.
What are you trying to hand us, anyway?
John, is that the weirdest story I ever heard?
It's, I'm telling you, it gets weirder, and it gets more tragic. Because she runs off the freeway. The other sister's going to go to the hospital. This other sister is now taken into custody. She's crackers. All of this, by the way, folks, is caught on camera by a TV, not just the CCTV camera, which the Birmingham Highway Patrol, whatever they're called in England, but it's their highway patrol. And there is a CCTV office in Birmingham where these officers are monitoring the cameras, and they're monitoring the traffic, and they're the first ones to catch this. The other guys that got this stuff on camera was some television show for the BBC called Highway Cops or something.
So it's like a cops?
Well, they cover the highway, the highway patrol cops.
Yeah, these are the Britain's highway police officers, highway constables, the guys that are, yeah, effectively doing the same job that state patrols, etc. And there's a TV show that follows them around once a week, and they're doing their thing, right? They're in the car, and, well, they happen to be in the car of the two first responding officers, these two patrol officers, PCs. Is that what a...
Well, it's a patrol constable.
PC? No, I thought... Well, I'm thinking of something else, right?
That's not politically correct.
That has nothing to do with that, right?
No, I don't think it does, Margaret. No, that would be...
Don't be a smartass, Phil.
Margaret, you know, there's some questions that are stupid.
How dare you? How dare... You know something? That's what I think about you.
Oh!
Don't you give it...
Get your hands off his nose.
I asked an intelligent question.
Margaret, you asked a question that any bonehead would avoid asking. That was that question was not only bonehead, it was a full erect boner.
Oh, Christ, do you want a little?
Yeah, I'd love to see you try to give me some.
Yeah, why don't you try to feed him some?
How'd you like to feed some of this?
Get your blouse.
God damn, man.
Margaret, did you actually expose one of your boobs?
No, I didn't. You wish.
Okay, are we all done with that bullshit?
All I ask for, Phil, all I require is respect. Respect for me. A mother and a wife. Where are all the tea bags, please?
Could you go help her, please?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and here's the weird part about it. We're going to get to Bob Bakey in traffic. Here's the weird part about it. This woman eventually is remanded into custody. She is then released within, I think, 72 hours. In the United States, and in Britain, too, to be fair, in Britain, too. If you are a danger to yourself or another person, you are held in there's a psychiatric hold, just as there is in the States. For some reason, this woman slipped through the cracks. We're going to find out why she slipped through the cracks here in just a moment. Bob Bakey going to join us here now with the traffic out there on the highways and byways. Bob, have you ever heard such a story like that?
Oh, I've got to tell them. They have a lot of guys and people going to run around here and try to get themselves run over by a car on a day. There's a better way to love these guys. And we see people run to the traffic in Ponce and think about helmet, Phil. You know?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, all right, that's what, Phil. I've had a highway. I've got a 581. Yeah, there's 551 out here with Gates. You know, look out here and see a little smoke fire and stuff. That TP out here with the Indian building smoke signals. And, of course, if you're right out the left side of the hound, there's the light side of a hound, there's the light side of a hound. If you've got a dog or you have any kind of a hunting dog, any kind of a hunting trip plan, make sure the light side of the hound is out there on the right side. This is Bob Bakey in traffic.
You know, this reminds me, this tea reminds me of a, what do you call what the Chinese do?
I mean, what the Chinese make rice?
Well, you asked, what are those limericks, Phil?
Well, like a haiku or something?
Well, anyway, it goes in dry, it comes out wet, and it comes out stronger. What is it? What am I? Or what...
Hey!
But what? why don't you clam it up before I put something in it? And no, it won't be what you're thinking, which you wish.
Say that again.
It goes, can I have this garbage? Please turn the garbage down. God, how I love Black Sabbath.
Yeah, that's right.
And in fact, didn't you sing,
I love the song, Paranoid. Ah, ha, 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 la, la, ha, 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 ooh, ooh. Yes, I do.
So what is this little, haiku? And why am I getting slapback? And,
you got slapback because you're throwing up. Jesus, Henry.
Yeah, we have it's a crazy, it's our digital board, brand new digital board. We're working it out.
Are you done?
Yes.
All right. It goes in dry, it comes out wet, and it comes out stronger than when it went in. What is I? Not what is I. What am I? Not
what am I. What am it?
What am it? Yes. No.
What is it?
Yes, thank you.
What is it? I don't know. What is it?
Yeah, I give up.
You give up? Yeah.
We give up. I got to move on with the show.
Well, I don't think I would. We'll save it for the next segment.
Oh, okay.
Well, look at, ladies and gentlemen, you don't see it, but Phil's all pouty. He's, he didn't tell me what to do.
Well, no, I'm going to sit here everybody want, you know, you got to have the payoff, Margaret.
This is called a tease into the next segment. A tease into the next segment.
Yeah, what is that again?
A tease, never mind.
All right. Fuck. All right. Thank you. Yes, we'll tease that in the next segment. We're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler on the line to guide us through this very, very interesting story that I'm telling. I feel it's an interesting story that I'm telling on the air right now. And the story is about these twins, and Dr. Sadler, you're familiar with it. These twins who were in Great Britain and ran out onto the freeway there, the motorway or whatever they call it, both of them getting hit, one of them getting injured critically. But that's just the beginning of this story. Are you familiar with the story?
Well, I am indeed, Phil. This is the story of the Erickson twins. Right now, as a matter of fact, I am in a hospital, not for anything other than just to check up on a couple of my patients. But we are here in a holding area of a psychiatric facility down here in San Diego. And you see any number of amazing, amazing stories of people who lose their bearings and lose their minds. And but the story you're talking about is the Erickson twins.
Dr. Sadler, the Erickson twins, they ran out onto a freeway. Is this... What? Why?
Well, the why...
Because Phil's been telling this story, and it's fascinating, but why did they do this? Did they do this together?
Indeed, they did do it together. They did it together.
And why did they do that?
Well, the reason why they did that...
Am I to understand that...
Margaret, would you let the guy finish?
God.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and by the way, the answer to your haiku is a tea bag.
Tea bag goes in wet, comes out dry.
You know, I was saving that for the next segment.
I'm sorry, you're saving it for the next segment, but you butting in.
Well, you know something, Mark. Good, Dr. Sadler. I'm glad you did that. It shows her that she can't just butt in.
Yeah, I did. I. You know, you...
What did I... Did I anger you?
Well, I'm trying to get it said, and you're going, Dr. Sadler, did. And it pissed me off, so...
All right, well...
Okay, are we done? Thank you. Now, Dr. Sadler, tell us all about why these... What's wrong?
You looked at me like I was something that you'd just as soon take a scrub brush to and get off the ass of your underwear. God!
Margaret, don't... Be a baby.
I'm not...
I think,
Please, Dr. Sadler, you're not qualified to psychoanalyze me. I think you're barely qualified.
Enough of that. So, Dr. Sadler, continue.
Yes, thank you, Phil. And, Margaret, you know I admire you greatly.
Well, you don't act like it.
I'm simply trying to get... Mr. Henry wants me to say what it is that I gotta say.
Well, I was simply...
All right, Margaret, we got it, okay? You were simply trying to do something. I don't know what it was, but...
This man was telling me the answer to the...
Okay, all right. I'm sorry that I gave the answer to your fucked up limerick.
Okay. Now you know what you're going to do?
Don't point at me.
You know what you're going to do?
What am I going to do?
You're calling him back.
Yeah!
You're calling him back, and you're getting him back on the line.
Phil!
I said call him back, Margaret, or you're fired.
I want the record to show. I want everyone listening right now. Look at me.
Margaret, you did. You butt in, and you butted it in, and you butted it in.
I butted it in, huh?
Yeah, you want his number?
Yes, I want the number.
That was great. You know, I'm just gonna, you asked us a question. You had to answer.
Call him back.
Dr. Jim Sadler, please. Margaret Gray. Margaret Gray. Margaret Gray. You don't know who I am. You know what? Park it way, way up there. Just
Margaret, call him back.
They don't know who I am, Phil.
I don't care if they don't know. Call him back.
What am I supposed to...
Just use... You're a reporter, aren't you? Aren't you a reporter?
A damn good one.
Yeah, well, then use some of your reporter skills and get the...
Get the guy back on the air.
Yeah, and I was going to say that.
You were going to say it.
Get him back.
Yes, Dr. Jim Sadler, please. Margaret Gray calling. Margaret Gray, I am a reporter. I work with the Phil Henry Show. Yes, Dr. Sadler was just on the air. Mm-hmm. With Mr. Henry. What's your name? Annabelle. That's a lovely name. Could I speak with Dr. Sadler? He's in consultation. Well, he was just on the air. Yes, would you give him the following message? Yes, tell him to stick it up his ass.
Give me the phone.
Phil.
Call him back.
Phil.
Call him back, Margaret. Now you've made it doubly, you know.
You're a little nervous, aren't you?
Yes, Henry, you're seeking.
I'm looking for the word. You've made it doubly bad is what you've done. Call him back.
So you're going to make me do this?
Yes, I am. I'm making you do it.
Aha, Margaret, this is what happens. You act like a little mental midget. People treat you like one.
Oh, well, thank you, General. Aren't you so wise? You went to Vietnam.
Yeah, that's right. That's a whole world of living, lady, that you haven't done. Call him back.
I take my direction from Phil.
Okay, call him back.
Yes, Dr. Jims, I'm sorry. I was talking to someone else. I so apologize. Somebody was making me angry here. We're in an office. It's very crowded. Would you please forgive me? Thank you. Could I have Dr. Jim Sadler? Margaret Gray. I'm a reporter. I work with the Phil Henry Show. I'm a reporter. I work with the Phil Henry Show. I said, I'm a reporter, yes, and I work with the Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry. Henry. Show. And Dr. Sadler was just... Yes, he was just on the air with us. He got angry at something I said. I shouldn't have said it. Yes, I am mouthy. Oh, man.
Take it easy.
I am, yeah. Yes, I have a filthy mouth. Ooh.
Take it easy, Margaret.
You brought this on yourself.
I'll take it from them, not you, Budson.
Go of his nose.
Yes, I'll hold. You having fun?
Margaret, you know, there comes a time...
Oh, Phil, spare me the lecture.
No, there comes a time when you gotta act like an adult. And I'm sorry, but you've gotten away with a little bit too much here lately.
Oh, I see. Is this level... Hello? Yes, I'm holding. Thank you. I see. This is level Margaret Day, huh?
No, Margaret. The fact is, Bud answered the question, or Dr. Sadler answered the question on that limerick, because you were butting in and butting in and butting in.
He answered the question on that limerick, as you call it. It's called a... It was a little... It was a whatever... A riddle. That's what it was.
A riddle. There you go.
Yes. See, I had to think of it.
I had to think of anything. Guy, you got a ball because a guy talk about a riddle?
Yes, I... Yes. I'm holding, yeah. Where's my pen? What number? Okay. I have to call him at another... Yes. That's his car phone. I will call him. Thank you so much. And again, my apologies. Thank you. Goodbye. Asshole. They hung up. They didn't hear it.
Now call him back.
Oh, call him back? I wasn't even talking to him.
You know what I mean. Call him.
Call him in his car, Margaret. That's what they said, that the guy's in the car, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They said he didn't care.
Really like making fun of an old man, huh?
Making fun of an old man? I'm married to one. Oh! All right, hold on. Everyone shut your mouth. Just shut your filthy holes. Dr. Sadler, it's Margaret Gray. First of all, let me apologize. I was completely in the wrong. Yes, I was. I was completely in the wrong. I butt in. No, there's no apology necessary. You were right. It was a teabag, yes. Can we put you back on the air? You're on your way where? We'll talk to Phil, okay?
Hey, Dr. Sadler? Dr. Sadler?
Yes, Phil. Let me just turn my... Yes, Phil. I was on my way home, and I told Margaret that I was going to engage in a form of by-proxy dual psychosis. What happened to those two women who ran out onto the freeway? One of them was psychotic, and the other was replicating the psychotic actions of the sister. These girls were twins, and so they had a connection, very strong psychic connection, as many twins do. And so they mimicked the behavior of others. In this case, it was most likely Sabina who was psychotic, and Ursula was the one that was mimicking her behavior. And so when Sabina ran out onto the freeway, then Ursula, she ran out onto the freeway. And when Ursula ran out on the freeway, then Sabina, she ran out on the freeway too. See?
No, so which one was psychotic?
The one that was psychotic was, I forget, but one of the two...
Well, it seemed to me like that Sabina was the one, because she was the one that wound up stabbing a man, right?
Yes, she did. She wound up stabbing a man, and she wound up assaulting another man. She was eventually imprisoned in Great Britain. She may still be in prison, but she only got 5 years for manslaughter. This is a result of a finding of... guilty by reason of insanity. She was guilty of manslaughter by reason of mental ways. Now I was on my way home to replicate by proxy the psychotic behavior of a patient of mine who had put his private, and I won't go into this because I know we've got into a meat grinder, and
oh my God!
He didn't do anything, and I wasn't going to do anything. But I want to point this out: the behavior that I was treated to here on your program was such that I became momentarily unbalanced.
I want to ask a question.
No, I'm going to finish. Momentarily unbalanced. I was not so unbalanced as to know that I didn't want to put it into a meat grinder, but I did know that I was assaulted, that I felt weakened, and that I had just been treating a man who had suffered from the same sort of psychotic impulse, and that was to drop it, just go ahead and flop it right into the meat grinder.
But he didn't do anything.
No, he did not. He just let it sit there for a period of 4 hours. His wife came home from work. He pointed to it and said, "Do you see just how bad it's gotten?" And she was able to talk him down.
This is not a joke, right?
No, it's not a joke.
And you're telling me that because of what Margaret was saying to you and your treatment on this show, you went home.
I did not get home. I was. Am I home?
Oh, no, you're still in the car.
Yeah, you're still in the car driving along.
Oh, is he? Give a candy bar to the kid over there. Yes, I'm still in the car.
Well, Tommy, you're still in the car then, Dr. Sandler.
Of course it is. I'm still in the car. No, I have not gotten at home. However, if Ms. Gray had not called, I would have got home. I would have taken a shower. I would have gone into the kitchen, pulled out that stainless steel sausage maker that my wife has, because my wife's Italian, and we all, you know, every Italian home has one.
Yeah.
And I would have dropped my towel, flopped it on in there, and just stared at it with my hand on the crank until my wife got home. But I was not certainly going to do nothing. And
now, can I ask you, I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
No, you didn't. Go ahead.
What? How was this going to affect me?
It wasn't going to affect you. It had nothing to do with you. It was me. I was going to self, I was going to pretend to self-mutilate or to self-de-penal. You know.
What do you mean, de-penal? Isn't that just called, castration?
Not necessarily, depending upon that.
All right, I don't want to talk about the specifics of this. So you're sitting there like an idiot with your penis in a meat grinder.
Like an idiot. That's how you're going to describe it?
You see what I'm saying, Dr. Sadler? I have to contend with this.
No, you know what? I owe you an apology, Ms. Gray. Like an idiot. I, Dr. Jim Sadler.
Yes, you, Dr. Jim Sadler. Now, can I get to the bottom line of all of this? Are you saying that this sort of shared psychosis, this is an infectious psychosis, it's something that...
He hung up, sorry.
Oh, look who has to call him back and blend it.
You're going to have to beg for him to come back on the air, Phil.
You don't have to, Mr. Andy. Just move on.
No, I have to because I got to finish the whole... God. I got to tell you something, though. Dr. Jim's... Anybody, I don't know. Who do we got on as our guest next?
We got Robert Oden on, who's a record producer. And he'll be talking about the music business.
Oh, we had Robert Oden. He debuted on our show last week. That'll be good. I can handle that. I can handle a new, just somebody new to talk to.
Yeah, but it's the same guy last week that told you that Drake was a thumbsucker.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, we're going to be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, with more from Dr. Jim Sadler on this documentary called, I think, Murder in the Fast Lane. These two female twins who ran out into traffic on a carriageway in Britain, both of them getting hit by trucks and cars. And even after they were rescued by police officers, they escaped their grasp and went out and ran onto the freeway again. It's an old story, but it's an interesting story. Be right back, Phil and Show.
For those of you that didn't understand what Phil just said, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And here's a lovely thing from Bob Marley and the Marleys.
The Wailers.
Oh, Bob Marley and the Wailers. And Is This Love?
Is this love? Is this love? Is it love that I'm feeling? Yes, at the Downtown Jesus Christ Performing Arts Center in Milwaukee, Is This Love That I'm Feeling debuts tonight. Tonight, two shows, 8 and 11 o'clock. See Is This Love I'm Feeling or Is It Not at the Jesus H. Christ Performing Arts Center, Downtown Milwaukee.
So you've taken advertising from that scum, huh?
You mean scum?
Those are the guys that advertised on the Milwaukee Lion Games. The lowest of the low.
I don't know. I don't even know if it exists. All I know is it pays, and brother, the check's cash. Yeah. Yeah, Jim. Hold on.
You didn't hear Phil call Dr. Sadler back during the commercial break because Phil can't take that kind of scrutiny.
Dr. Sadler, I apologize to you, sir, and can we continue now?
Yes, but I'm just saying, if I get any lip at all, then you'll see more drug-sniffing dogs, more helicopters, more police cars than you've seen in your wildest hallucinations.
All right, what we're talking about here, then, is a psychosis that these two twins had that is actually a shared psychosis.
You could say that it is one twin is infected by the psychotic behavior of the other and begins to act out the same way. In many instances, you can say that they actually do have the psychosis of the other. Keep in mind, because they are twins, they have a genetic, they have a biochemical predisposition to be alike, to be the same, if you will, as the other one. So this young woman runs out into traffic and is hit by a truck, is hit by a car, and all this other nonsense, and the other twin winds up doing the same thing. Now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the psychotic twin was the one that got run over by the truck and went into the hospital, and that the other twin that eventually escaped the police briefly but then went into jail but then got out and stabbed the guy, she was healthy.
See, that I don't get that. I don't get that.
Why would the healthy one, if she's acting out, the healthy one then got out of jail?
Yeah, they let her out after, I don't know, overnight.
See, that was the other thing. There's a lot of stuff going on with this, General. Number one...
I saw that. I watched it.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but let me tell you all about it.
No, I'll tell people about it. What happened was that she was arrested. Her sister went to the hospital because her legs were in absolute... probably had to have her leg amputated, if not both of them. Her sister is now living, I believe, here back in the United States, as a matter of fact. But point I'm trying to make... The one that went to jail, she eventually was released. She went to jail for assaulting a police officer and for interrupting a carriageway, as they call it in England, something like that. Trespassing on a carriageway, that was it. So she gets released. She goes into the town. She strikes up an acquaintance. And the next thing you know, she stabbed that man to death. This man that took her in and gave her something to eat and was making some phone calls on her behalf. She finally leaves there. She's walking down the road with a hammer, hitting herself over the head with a hammer.
Yeah, now that was also in, that is...
Now, wait, is that some kind of bull crap?
That's got to be a joke.
No, that is absolutely true. she was hitting herself over the head with a hammer.
Yeah, she's walking down the street hitting herself in the head with a hammer, and a guy is driving along and sees this. He stops his car, gets out, and tries to stop her from hitting the hammer. He hits her on the head with a roofing tile of some kind that she found. She found this hammer and this roof tile. And she's finally taken into custody and arrested for the murder of this man.
Yes, she was arrested for this poor man's murder, and now began a whole rigmarole about whether she's legally insane.
But to say that she's the one that got infected with the insanity.
Well, you know, all I can tell you is this conversation that we were having here, after having just had my conversation with William Small, who's the psychotic that I was talking to, who flopped it into a.
What do you mean flopped it? You're a doctor.
Oh, I'm a doctor. I'm not a butcher. Wow.
Yeah, he's a doctor. Don't work in a meat section of the Ralph.
You mean of Ralph's?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't work in Ralph's meat section, you know.
No, you're not working on Ralph's meat.
Yeah, no, I don't work on Ralph's meat. Yeah.
You know, for a doctor, you're very infantile.
Hey, whoa, there, sunshine. You're the one that caused all the problems in the first place. So let's not get our priorities misplaced here, neither.
All right. So, what the point is? What
the point is? I'm saying that this guy, he put it in a meat grinder to pretend like he was gonna grind it up. And then I went home. I did the same thing because of on account of the trauma that I was put through here by Margaret.
You know, I know that I was rude, but for you to say
the trauma that I was put through here by Margaret almost caused me to start pulling the crank on that meat grinder. Because what you do is, if you are traumatized to the point where you feel emasculated by a woman, and you go home and you put it into the meat grinder, you wait for your wife to come home, and as soon as she comes through the door, you look at her and you go, about time for me to, you know, get some water up from the well. You start to move that crank. And
does your wife or any woman, is she going to know what's happening?
She sees your wiener in a meat grinder, a little bit. Are you putting me on?
All right, so you didn't do it. You were not going to do it. You weren't intending on doing it. You just told us about this so that Margaret could feel duly chastised.
Well, for the most part, yes, because the rudeness of that woman, I felt, was beyond compare.
All right, so you figured out my riddle, okay? And I was angry. I was very angry because I wanted to be the one that said the answer to the riddle. And I didn't say the answer to the riddle, okay?
Yeah.
What are you all looking at?
Well, I mean, what's your point?
My point is that I didn't get to do the riddle.
Well, you do, Frank.
Is that funny?
Sort of, isn't it?
Come on.
I can see old dogs. Well, I better not say that.
Old dogs don't learn new tricks. You know something? If it weren't for the fact that we still have a lot of show to do, I'd get up and leave. I'd get in my car, I'd start it up, and I'd drive it to the front door of this dump.
Oh, man. All right, Margaret.
Well, I would.
All right, Dr. Sadler, thank you so much for being on the program today. I think it is, I think it has been elucidating, it has been edifying, it's been pretty weird.
Well, just remember that this sort of psychosis, and if you look up the film you saw, Phil, Madness on a Fast Lane, it's a very real thing, and these are twins. And so these two women prompted each other to do what they did, and when they did do what they did, then the one that did what she did, she did it. She did do it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, man. Thanks a lot.
Whatever you say, man. You know,
All right, thanks a lot. Dr. Jim Sadler, who's got a... I guess it's his time of the month. Yeah.
Jesus H. Christ.
Hello, Dr. Sadler.
Yeah?
Fuck you.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show. We got Robert Oden, record producer Robert Oden, coming up to give us the latest in the world of music. And we're back. Bob Oden joining us. We talked to Robert Oden last week about... we were talking to him about Drake and about... I think we were talking to you, Bob, about Drake, about Lil Wayne, and about the... You know, I guess you could say about the their relative truthfulness. Is that what we were basically talking about?
Yeah, you know, I remember you asking me whether they were hard enough, and I said I think they're hard, you know, but I'm not going to say that they're that they're 100%. I think there's some sucker under.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were saying that they may go home at night crying.
Yeah, I think if you look at any hip hop artist, they're gonna cry and whine and weep if life gets too tight. Those two guys strike me as the kind of guys that like that, you know.
All right, let's talk about what's happening with the show Empire. What do you think?
I don't know. I all I know about the show right now is the music, and the music is not too good, you know.
Now, why do you say that?
I just think it's lightweight, you know. It sounds real Glee-like. It sounds like a Black Glee, you know.
Black Glee? Are you nuts or something? Well, the hip-hop's way better.
Well, you know, I don't know what kind of hip-hop you listen to, but... it sounds like a show that is light. It sounds like hip-hop light, you know.
Well, isn't that what it's... I don't know a guy... Excuse my French. I don't know a damn thing about hip-hop. But isn't that the whole idea of hip-hop? You gotta...
Well, you gotta... What you have to do is bleach it a little bit.
And when you say bleach it, what do you mean? You mean...
You gotta lighten it up, you know.
Well, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Hey, I don't know who you are, man.
My name's Bud Dickman. I'm a very big hip-hop fan.
All right, well, my name is Robert Oden. I'm a producer, okay? So I think I know when I hear music bleached out, you think I'm going to be quiet about it. I won't be quiet about bleach because I have seen what's happened to some very substantial and very talented young men and women who've decided that they need to lean in a white direction. I've done nothing wrong with that, Phil. Understand?
All right, well, when you say it's bleached out, what does that mean?
I'm just saying that it sounds like it's been drifting and kind of gliding and sliding, like somebody took everything about the music on Empire. Sounds very suspect. What you got is a music that has been oiled. If you want to call it greased, I'll say it. It's been greased up, and it's been oiled and greased, and it's been lubed, so it slides. And when you slide any kind of music on popular television, if you slide it, you're going to be sliding toward what we call the Great White Way, you know. That's a kind of hip-hop slang for the middle-of-the-road white audience.
You say that you lube it up and you slide it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's nothing in the process is flattering. Nothing in the process is anything you want to be associated with. I don't want to be associated with looping it up and sliding it up the Great White Way, you know, unless I'm standing behind it.
Okay, all right. So the music sounds compromised.
I would say it sounds very compromised to me. But if that's what's going to keep the show on the air...
Well, see, that's the whole thing. Don't they want to keep the show on the air? And I remember way back in the day when they... Any kind of music that was primarily, what do you call it, African-American music, or what do you want to call it, why, they didn't want to have a show about that, you know?
Well, I don't know.
Well, you're talking way back in the 50s?
Well, yeah, way back in the 50s, but the thing that I'm saying is... don't you want to have a show on the air that has this kind of music that's going to be exposing the so-called Great White Way?
You're exposing the Great White Way. You mean the other way around?
No, I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. It exposes it to the Great White Way.
I think there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But what I don't like is when you take culturally significant music and it is rooted, and it is music that is original and authentic, all right? And you apply, you pull out that squeeze bottle of lube.
Why is everything with the squeeze bottle of lube?
Well, because, I mean, that's what's being done here.
Oh, yeah, but you're making it sound like the obvious show business analogy of bending over and lubing up.
Well, that's exactly what's happening, man. You want to make this music acceptable to mainstream America out there, then, friend, you better defug it, you know, and what some people call a defug. And you have got to apply a liberal amount of grease and glide, and you got to get it. You have to astroglide it, you know. And when I got a call from Toppy Heron, who's a producer in the Midwest, he said the AG on that. I said, well, I don't think so. I think they can maintain that. He said, no, they got the AG, and they've got to, if they want to go WWAG. And we said, well, that's a secret radio station.
What is WWAG? I'm sorry.
Great White Way. AG is astroglide.
Oh, for God's sake, Astroglide.
Excuse me, but I don't know that term.
Well,
yeah, isn't that funny? Astroglide,
go ahead, Ms. Gray.
Oh, do you think I know all about it?
Ow! right in the ball sack.
I never hit him near there, okay?
Look, I don't want to get into a whole thing with everybody there.
Yeah, would you guys calm down, please? Astroglide is a lube. We're all into lube here.
Well, let's fill it.
Well, if the shoe fits, wear it, Henry.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate...
All right, well, we're talking about here, you're saying that what is... Effectively, that's what you're saying. You're saying that in order for Empire, the TV show to last, in order for the TV show Empire to have a fighting chance, they have to, as you put it, they have to go the Great White Way or Astroglide it.
Wait, man, you're messing it all up.
Didn't say that, Mr. Henry. He said they're going to have to... They're going to have to lube it up to get it to slide in.
Oh, I see. See, that's got nothing to do with anything. Jesus H.
Do I have to sit here?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to sit there same way that I do.
Oh, do I really? Well, here's how you're going to sit there. I can't understand a thing that jackass is saying.
All I'm saying is you're going to love the show and enjoy the show, and I think it's a great moment for hip-hop music to be in the mainstream like that. But don't sacrifice the integrity of that music. And when you got an Astroglide...
Okay, so there's a lot of... Let's just use that word Astroglide or lube up or whatever as a way of saying, man, they are really forcing us to compromise.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound as cool.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as cool, AG.
Yeah, well, if I got the AG... Then I want no part of that. They're going to make me... I go to Fox Television, and the first thing I see is a white man standing there with a jar of lube. Shit.
All right, Robert, have a good day. Best of luck. I think that... I think you're perhaps... Hey, look, you know, that's a show on network television. What do you think it's going to look like? There's opportunity for a lot of other things, I think.
Yeah, well... You say, but when you get your one golden opportunity, it's like what they have. If they did a show about rock and roll... And what did they do? They did the monkey. See?
Oh, that's right. You know, they sort of watered it down.
Well, you can't tell me that the whole rock industry had to lube up so the monkey... what did they be the monkey?
You mean the monkeys?
Yeah, that's right, the monkeys. Yeah. And that the monkeys was a big jar of Glide, and the American people were holding the big, you know...
That like a... Well, like a salami.
Yeah, American people had the salami. So.
All right, thanks, Robert Oden. Thank you, sir.
Well, I wasn't done.
You know,
No, you know nothing. No, Margaret, no.
I was going to say...
No, there's nothing...
I was going to say that was a very good interview.
Ha, ha, ha. Boy, did she ever... She put it right up the giggle of the wah-wah brush there.
All right, sorry, I anticipated.
Yes, you did. I was going to say that it was a rotten interview, and then I heard you interrupt me, and then I decided I'd say that it was a good interview, and I went ahead and wrote that out.
Yeah, it worked, too.
Oh, yeah, it worked, too. We'll be right back.
Yes, don't be such a... Phil, be a good loser, all right?
We'll be right back here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I'm going to tell you all about our website, philhenryshow.com. Do you have a backstage pass? Are you or are you not... a subscriber to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You're not? Well, you know something? That can't be. Get yourself a subscription to our website, either an all-access or audio-only. We got all kinds of levels. We got all kinds of ways of doing it. A month, a six-month, a one-year. Subscribe to the greatest website in all of radio land, in all of audio comedy land, the Phil Henry Show website. We got more material there than anywhere. Almost 20,000 hours for you to listen to and to enjoy. Yeah. Also, it is our great pleasure to provide you with merchandise and souvenirs and stuff from the show at our online store. So whatever you do, wherever you go, whoever you are, whatever you think you are, or wherever you think you're going to do it, get a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website.
World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
How you doing, Bob? Bob Green was with us on Saturday, on our Friday show, and Robert is back with us. Part of another group of people have been invited up to the... Well, he's been invited up there to the Max in the East Bay to see Emerelda Wheeler performing. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing good, Phil. We're having a great time, and Amarella's just come on the stage here. Here's Dean.
Hi, Phil.
Dean, how are you doing?
Oh, we're great. We really feel that we've had we've turned the corner here with Emeralda. Bob Green is with us. You know, last week we had also your young friend there, Gary Pipe, who...
Let me have the...
Well, Gary Pipe.
Gary Pipe was here, and so I said to Dean that I wanted to be invited, so we can make that clear right now.
I wasn't going
to... We can make that clear right now.
All right, hold on. I was talking to Bob, if you don't mind. I mean, I was talking to Dean, Bob.
Well, who are you talking to?
I was talking to Dean.
Here, he wants you.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
Yeah. Why is Bob there?
He called me up. He insisted.
I did not insist. He had this kid Pipe.
He insisted that he be invited. And I'm happy to have you here, Bob. I'm happy to have you here. Okay?
That's your wife up there, huh?
Yeah, that is my wife up there. What about it?
Pretty tasty.
Phil?
All right, okay. Listen, I want you to stay on the phone with me and just chill out.
Well, hold on. You see that horn player?
Yeah.
That guy is a new horn player. I've gone through 15 horn players. You know why?
No, I don't know why.
Because they thought they'd get fresh with my wife. Now you're here, and you think you're going to dance? You see that horn? The last horn player before that guy that was up there, do you know where the horn he was playing is now?
I would have to assume it's up his ass.
No, it's not. No, it's not up his ass. I put it up the ass of the trombone player, and I made it clear to everyone, you guys are all responsible for yourselves now. So if one guy screws up, the other guy is going to get your horn up his ass.
What about the trombone player?
Yeah. See? Jesus. Yeah, I just gave Bob the word.
Okay, so anyway, I was going to talk to Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry, here's Bob.
Yeah, Phil.
All right. I wanted to ask you about this situation with Gary Pipe and your competition with him. You were on the show last week, and you were talking about it, and you were concerned about Gary Pipe. Are you feeling any better? I'm going to have to say no, you're not, because I heard just what happened there.
Oh, no, I am not feeling better. This kid Pipe was up here, and he was watching Emeralda. I'm sorry. I got to be quiet. He was watching Emeralda Wheeler. And he'd been invited up here. Now, I said to Wheeler, I said, how long have you known me? And Wheeler said, how long have we known each other? About 15 years. And I said, do I get to come up to San Francisco and watch your wife? And he said, sure. So I come up here.
And the first thing you say is she's tasty.
Well, what are you going to be, a pain in the ass?
You did.
I know I did. What, are you telling me she's not?
I don't need you. I don't need you telling me that and telling me...
Yeah, but you're telling me all about trombones getting shoved up asses? You know something, Phil? I got to tell you something. I've been on your program for many years. I've never heard, as of late, I've heard about so many different things getting shoved up, so many different asses that I think, you know, you're kind of leaning on that a little heavy.
Okay. I tell you what, Bob. I simply wanted to know about your relationship with Gary Pipe. You don't want to talk about that. You're jealous of the fact he got invited up there to watch Emeralda Wheeler.
No, I'm just saying that every time I turn around, somebody wants to park something up my ass.
Or maybe you're just hanging out in the wrong places. Oh, baby. Emeralda just had a very good first set, Phil, despite the fact that Green wouldn't shut up.
You weren't talking to me.
Despite the fact that Green wouldn't shut up. Here's another song. Emeralda Wheeler.
Wielder or Wheeler?
Wheeler. Hey, why don't you guys shut up? Who are you?
I'm the doorman.
Then go back to the door.
Yeah, talk to that guy. How about that guy, huh?
I can't hear her. I can't. Can you hear her, Phil?
Very, very slightly.
Hey, baby. 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 Hey, baby. Would somebody turn her mic up?
Shut up, man. She's singing.
Fuck.
All right, Bob, get Bob, please.
Yeah, he wants you. Fuck.
Yeah, Phil, things are getting a little squirrely here because she's whispering it.
I told her not to whisper it. Hey, baby, baby,
don't call her baby. You want to
tell me how to talk to my wife?
Phil, I can only tell you this. If Gary Pipe wants to play down in the dirt, we'll play down in the dirt. Gary Pipe is a two-bit punk with a voodoo rug store. I'm not afraid of him. If he wants to get in here with Wheeler and what Wheeler's got going on, he wants a piece of this, guess what? I think I'll buy in, too. Wherever Pipe goes, Green is soon to follow. I'm Bob Green. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Here.
What's this?
It's called a telephone.
I know.
I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm just listening to Emeralda. Are you guys done?
Yeah, we are. Thank you very much, Dean.
All right. Hey, baby. Babe.
You know, she's going to leave him.
You ought to get on the phone and talk to him.
I don't talk to him.
Well, who can talk to that guy? He's almost... You talk about a guy that flops it into a meat grinder.
Yeah, that guy's going to come home someday. He's going to flop it into a meat grinder.
I hope he... Well, I don't know whether I hope he does or not. All right, folks, that does it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
This is Margaret Gray, and I know a lot of you are wondering, well, what is Phil doing? Why all of these best-of shows? Just chill out. There's a whole lot that we've got to tell you about later on this week, on Friday, on the Friday Night Chat, and next week. Thank you.
Tell him to chill out.
I'm telling him that.